Blog Talk Radio.
Family Guy, go to your room. Good Lord. I mean, good evening and welcome to Eerie House. Holy tiny radio. I'm something resembling, pathetically at times, a host, Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with...
Something resembling Dave Binkley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. I'm here along with...
If you buy a square foot of land in Scotland, you can become a lord. There, and if you're a good guy, you could become a good lordy. Anyway, whoa. Hey, it is I, Gar the Ghoul, blabbling to you all. All right.
The weather outside is frightful, but we are so delightful.
Then stay inside.
Let it snow. Okay, let it snow. Let it snow.
Oh. Okay.
It is snow.
I get it now.
Yeah.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
You don't think I'd sing deliberately on my own volition. I'm not that stupid.
Someone's got to make me.
That's my job.
Somebody's got to make me. Somebody's got to make me.
You might have got hold of some Christmas spirits there. We don't know.
They don't make that much liquor.
Actually, I am working on another Christmas parody video.
Oh,
that will.
I thought he was going to say I'm working on another fifth over here.
Well, I did have a couple of beers before I went in to record it, so I'm not sure how that part came out. But it should be fun. A couple old guys asking Santa about what they want for Christmas.
Dave, it sounds like a blast.
And it ain't their two front teeth.
No.
We
got, no.
No.
Maybe a back row of dentures, but not a whole not the two front.
Yeah, that's right.
My dentures took care of that years ago. Anyway,
at
Dale, go ahead. We've got a lot of radio.
So I've heard. Three great tales about snow. Why not? Winter starts in what? 4 days?
Yeah,
we get that. We get that stuff up here in Northeast. Aha. Aha.
Aha.
We're having a heat wave, and you guys are having snow. Is that what's going on?
Not yet. Not yet. Actually, it was 60 degrees early today, and then it kind of like went down to 40 because it's Ohio.
Yeah.
The heck? Yep. Boy. All right.
Wow. But we're getting everybody warmed up for Christmas with snow this weekend, and then we'll see what we can do about a white Christmas for next weekend.
Yep. And three great tales, Suspense, Strange Dr. Weird, and the Aldrich Family.
Yeah, a new addition to the Eerie House. It's kind of a juvenile sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it is. And
Yes, I was looking for some, visuals to put up on the little slideshow for them what are listening live and or the archive. There's a little slideshow that goes in there, and I found there were actually Aldrich Family comic books.
There were. Yes, there were.
It would have been spookier if they were the Aldrich Family, right?
The Aldrich, yeah.
Hello.
Hey, where's the boing on that?
Oh, it's right there.
There you go. Delayed boing.
You thought your boinger might need a little assistance there.
Yeah, I went to a doctor about my delayed boing, and he said, never mind.
There is medication you can take for that.
There always is.
If you dare, yes.
Eat oysters or something. I don't know what you can do for that. But
I think it's more of a thing of just change your batteries, but okay.
There you go. That's that for some. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And a ugga boo ugga. So you too, Gold Bob. Good old Bob and Gold Bob. It's Gold Bob. Good old Bob and Fogs Bane. Sorry, I'm
and
suffering
the
a little fumble
papers
mouth.
And the GG High Papers are back with us tonight, live.
Yay, welcome back. I love that book you guys sent me. Thank you so much. That is a cool book. Very inspirational.
And the title of it was?
Bound and Gagged. And it's not what you think.
No, there was a comic book series called Bound and Gagged. It was a,
damn,
a
damn.
Comedic,
it's, no. Do not defame our listeners. They did not send me something naughty. It's about the silent serials, you know, tied to the railroad track was on the cover. Not, you know, it's not some Betty Page kinky thing.
I could have sworn that there was a comic book strip in the newspaper called Bound and Gagged, and
you know what? I'm sure there was, but that's not what this is, okay? I promise you.
This is about railroads.
Well, no, the silent serials, like tying the Perils of Pauline kind of stuff.
Oh, okay, First Man on the Moon and all. Yeah, okay. Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because I think they sent it to me in part because they know I'm scheming to do some silent movie hosting soon.
Ooh.
Yeah, you need to kind of get off your tuchus there and get back into hosting there.
Yeah,
Mr.
I gotta
Dale.
Get back into the swing of things here.
See, and that's when you could have put in the Tarzan yell, and you missed it. Darn.
I did. Dave, is it me or in Northeast Ohio? Do we not have the same kind of snows we had since we were kids? I mean, there were some in the 60s,
we,
and you were by Buffalo, too, so I know
that you had
to have some of those fierce snow blizzards and snow piling up all over.
I know Fox Bay was another part of the state, but in New York, but they're getting some snow there. But, you know, I could go out trick-or-treating, and it would not be unusual to get snow during trick-or-treating.
Oh, that would
and it was always on. It was always on Halloween. It was always on Halloween night.
Yes,
so cool.
Yes, I remember freezing in our costumes.
And there was an article in the paper locally here that states how Ohio actually very seldom has a white Christmas, at least anymore.
Hmm.
Yep.
The here in Florida, believe it or not, it does get a little bit cold here. And I made a comparison that just a few years ago, well, maybe 10, I can't recall, but the temperature at a certain point in time in the morning, it was 32 degrees outside. And then I made a comparison to this year, 2021 or whatever it is, and it was 65 degrees. And I was like, wait, it's like a huge change. What's going on? I don't know if global warming is real or not, but it's warm here.
That's
crazy.
That's what you get for living in the year 2087.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's difficult to get a new driver's license every few years. But
it is 2021, but not for long. God, there's some great memes of Marty McFly and the professor getting out of the DeLorean, and the meme says, "What did I tell you? Please don't go to 2020 or."
Yeah, exactly. Go back. Get back in the car, quick.
Get back in get out. We can't, no. Let's get back to radio while we're doing the snow thing here. We've had a few bad snowfalls, but not. It just seemed it was more prevalent in the 60s and 70s. I don't know.
I have memories in my head when I lived up north of crazy. Like we were out of school for months. Due to snow.
They were in the summer months. Yes.
No. It was Christmas. It was. Every day we'd go and we'd wait for that scroll at the bottom of the TV screen that would say, "This county, no school." And we'd go, "All right." And then we'd get all dressed and go outside and get crazy out there and do that. It was fun.
So real quick before we get into our features tonight, I don't often get personal on the air, but I have to make a confession here publicly.
There you go.
I might as well get the little musical accompaniment. That's a good point. Warm up the tears, kids. The hell did I put it? There we go. Yes. I have a public confession to make. Mrs. K has gotten me addicted to crack.
Crack what? Crack wheat? cracked wheat?
No.
What?
No. It's this stuff they call Christmas crack, okay? You take a baking sheet, line it with foil, and then put a bunch of saltines, you know, in squares in a row. Then she makes this, I don't know, caramel crap or something. She, I don't know, brown sugar and butter and stuff. You stir the hell out of it until it turns into a goo. You pour it over that. You put a bunch of semi-sweet chocolate morsels on there, let that melt. And then she had already toasted some sliced almonds that she kind of crushed up, put that on the top, and that is Christmas. And then you let it chill like crazy so it hardens up and the chocolate don't get gooey. And there you go. Christmas crack, kids. Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
And that's how you get into a diabetic coma.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say so, yes. I would say
that's
so.
That's something I'm not getting near for the rest of my life.
I'm only allowed little bit.
So look at it.
I'm allowed to look at it.
But you got to hold your breath.
You have to look and cry at the same time.
While eating a freaking rice cake, you know?
Yeah.
But enough of my woes.
Oh, boy. We do have fun here.
Oh, it is, CW. It's as addictive as puppy chow. Absolutely.
Wait, you're eating puppy chow again?
Well, I don't want the dog to get fat.
Oh, well, there you go. 10 points for the dog.
There you go. There we go. So, where shall we begin tonight with our snowy tales designed to chill you?
Why don't we start with our newbie, the Aldrich family?
New to the channel show, the Aldrich family. This one's called Lost in the Snow.
Yeah, and this is a little bit about the Aldrich family before we go into the date and all the fun there. It's called a popular teenage situation comedy. Actually started off as a Broadway play in which Ezra Stone, who was Henry Aldrich, was a minor role, but he's the one that got all the attention in the Time magazine review. Rudy Valley saw the play and asked them to come do some sketches for his program, and this was followed in 1938 with a 39-week run of sketch comedy in the Kate Smith Hour, kind of like what the Bickersons were for the Charlie McCarthy show. Then it became a summer replacement for Jack Benny in 1939 and went on to, as a half-hour situation comedy, which is where it was basically till it went off in 1952, I believe. So it's an interesting, fun little piece here. And this guy at this point that he's in this show is probably about 26 or 27 years old. That's Henry Aldrich at this point. But he doesn't act like that.
No, from what I got out of it, he sounded more like an older guy in his 40s or 50s, a curmudgeon almost. I don't know. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
And our episode Lost in the Snow is from?
December 21st. 1941.
Warner. Aldrich family, based on characters originated by Clifford Goldsmith and starring Ezra Stone as Henry with Jackie Kelk as Homer.
Henry! Henry Aldrich!
Coming, Mother.
Is a boy, and that's all there is to it. He gets into difficulties somehow, and he gets out of them somehow, like Henry Aldrich. But what happens in between is usually unforgettable. The scene opens at the Aldrich dinner table.
Will you have another piece of cherry pie, Sam?
No, thank you, Alice.
Sam, are you upset about something?
Oh, I, Alice? No, what makes you think I'm upset?
Oh, dear, you've hardly spoken during this entire dinner.
Well, frankly, I don't for the life of me see why you had to invite Homer over here for dinner and to spend the night.
Sam, I had to. His mother and father have gone over to Abbott City. And besides, one more person certainly isn't going to make any great difference.
But, Alice, do you realize it's 20 minutes after 8 and we're finishing dinner and Henry and Homer haven't even shown up yet?
Yes, dear, and I'm going to speak to both of them. Although the only thing I feel bad about is these potato pancakes.
And that's another thing, Alice. How did we happen to have potato pancakes?
Well, I was going to have cream cauliflower, but Homer says he doesn't eat it.
That's still no excuse for potato pancakes.
Sam, they're one of Homer's favorite dishes. That's also why I went to the trouble of making a cherry pie. Homer loves cherries.
Then I say the least he could have done was to have been here in time to eat them. Just where are the boys? Can't we phone them someplace?
Well, I don't know where they are. They left here right after school and went out to sell war bonds.
They're selling war bonds?
Yes, dear. They've both been made Minutemen.
Minutemen? Well, they're an hour and a quarter late. Alice, how do you know something hasn't happened to them?
Now, Sam, just be sensible. They certainly aren't very far away. Oh, that may be Henry right now. He wants you to come and get him someplace.
You tell Henry that wherever he is, he's to start for home at once.
Yes, dear. Hello? Yes, Mrs. Kendall, this is Mrs. Aldrich. Oh, really? Really, this afternoon? You don't say so. Well, Mrs. Kendall, I'll tell him. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Alice, did you tell him his dinner's getting cold?
Sam, that was Mrs. Kendall, and she's terribly upset.
Yes? What's the trouble?
Well, she just discovered Henry made out a war bond pledge for her to sign, and she thought it was for $100, and it was for $1,000.
Yes?
And he also left one of his fur-lined gloves there.
At the Kendall's? Alice, the Kendalls live at least a mile and a half out of town.
Yes, dear, on the North Road. But a mile and a half isn't so far.
I know, but it started to snow. It's snowing hard, and I say they ought to be here.
Did you get your folks, Henry?
No, Homer. Gee, was the line still busy?
Boy.
Every time I call him, it seems to be busy.
Boys, we just had a phone call for you.
You did, Mrs. Cooper, from my father?
From your father? No, from Mrs. Snyder. She lives about a mile on up the road.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes, she called to ask whether you know you left one of your overshoes at her house.
We did. Oh, boy, look, it's mine.
Now, listen, Homer, you're getting more darn careless.
Well, I can't remember everything, Henry. I have to carry all our pencils and all our bond information, don't I?
Hey, aren't you boys sort of hungry?
Hungry?
I've got some nice corned beef and cabbage out in the kitchen I could warm up for you.
Oh, no, Henry's mother has a swell dinner waiting for us. She fixed some potato pancakes and a cherry pie. Just because I like them.
Potato pancakes and cherry pie.
Sure. As a matter of fact, I like any kind of cherries. Just so long as they're canned.
Well, you're easy to please, aren't you?
Jane.
Yes, well, I'll be right there.
Henry, don't you think you ought to try phoning your folks again?
Well, I'll try, Homer. But my folks know we're out selling bonds. And if they aren't worried, why should we get upset?
If that's the boys, I want to speak to them. Hello? Yes, this is Samuel Aldrich.
Who is it, Sam?
It's long distance.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello?
Sam, who is it?
Hello? Alice, it's Homer's mother.
Oh, my goodness, from way over in Abbott City?
Yes, Elizabeth, Homer's fine. No, he's no trouble at all. Mrs. Aldrich made some potato pancakes for him tonight, and you want to speak to him? Well, Elizabeth, right this minute, he and Henry stepped out for a few minutes, but there's nothing to worry about, I don't think. Yes, Elizabeth. We'll see that he wears his overshoes. Yes, goodbye.
Sam, do you realize it's going on 9 o'clock?
Well, what if it is?
But don't you realize it's snowing out and Henry has only one glove?
I know it, Alice, but you told me not to worry.
Dear, if Elizabeth Brown was worried enough to call all the way from Abbott City, it seems to me the least you can do is worry a little. Sam, let me answer it. I'll see who it is. Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Aldrich. Yes, Mr. Edmonds. My goodness, 2 hours ago? His earmuffs? Well, thank you so much. Goodbye.
Where is he?
Henry left his earmuffs at the Edmonds out on the North Road nearly 2 hours ago.
At the Edmonds? That means they're getting farther and farther away from home.
And Sam, just listen to that wind howl out there.
Well, I know what I'm going to do.
Sam, where are you going?
To get my hat and coat.
You mean you're going to look for them? But Sam, do you think you can drive the car through this snowstorm?
Now, don't worry about me, Alice. It's the boys you've got to think about.
Comfortable in the other room, Jane?
Yes, Will. And, Will, don't say anything, but I'm going to surprise them.
Yes?
I'm going to fix them some potato pancakes and open a can of cherries.
Yeah. Was that all?
Well, one of them says it's all he ever eats.
Yes?
Mr. Cooper?
Yes, sir, I'll be right there.
Mr. Cooper, are you sure your phone works all right?
I don't know why it shouldn't. You boys wouldn't like to stay overnight, would you?
Oh, no, no thanks. If we don't get home before long, my folks might begin to wonder where we are.
Sorry we couldn't buy a bond from you boys. If we only had some way to get our cow into town and sell her, I'd be able to buy one.
You would, Mr. Cooper?
Yeah, but my truck's broken down.
Henry, why couldn't we help him get his cow into town? Sure, we could walk her in for you.
Well, if you want to come out and get her someday, she's right out there in the barn.
And you'll buy a war bond?
We'll turn every cent we can get for her into bonds.
Will, where's the can opener?
Just a minute, Jane. I'll be right there.
Boy, Henry, I'll bet if we could sell that cow, we'd get $50 for her. 50, Homer. 50? Are you crazy?
Is that too much for a good cow?
Too much, Homer. Gee whiz, I heard of a cow once selling for $1,000.
$1,000?
Or maybe it was $2,000 or $3,000.
Just an ordinary cow.
What do you mean, ordinary? She gave something like 5 tons of butter a year. Does that sound very ordinary?
5 tons of butter?
Sure.
Are you sure it was butter?
Homer, the point is we can sell Mr. Cooper a bond.
Oh. Well, listen, Henry, is that the wind I hear outside?
Boy, we ought to be getting started for home.
Well, what do you say we take a look out the front door?
Put your things on first, Homer.
I'm putting them on.
Come on, let's take a look out here.
Oh, boy. Henry, do you think we ought to go home tonight?
We've got to. Don't you realize we're going to sell more bonds tomorrow, and we've got to get an early start?
Well, that's true. Well, let's get started. Oh, Mrs. Cooper.
Mrs. Cooper! Mr. Cooper! I wonder where they are.
Henry, don't leave that door open like that. Close it and come on.
Okay. Now, don't push me, Homer.
I'm not pushing you. I'm just hanging on to you.
Listen, Homer, I've got an idea. Boy, if we can do it.
Good evening, Mrs. Edmund.
Good evening, Mr. Aldridge. What are you doing way out here? Come on in out of the snow.
Thank you. I understand Henry and a friend of his were out here, and I thought you might give me some information as to which way they went.
Well, as I recall it, they were here about 6 o'clock. Mr. Edmonds bought a bond from them. Oh, and incidentally, here are Henry's earmuffs.
Oh, thank you.
But I have no idea as to which direction they went from here, Mr. Aldridge.
No. Would you mind if I use your phone, Mrs. Edmonds?
Oh, no, help yourself. It's right here.
Hello?
Number, please.
Elm 303.
Elm 303?
Please.
You mean your boy's lost?
No. No, Henry isn't lost, but it's getting on toward 10 o'clock, and naturally we feel more comfortable.
Hello?
Hello, is this you, Alice?
Yes, dear, where are you?
I'm out at the Edmonds.
Well, my goodness, Sam, they announced on the radio that the storm was getting worse and the cars were getting stuck. And I phoned for a tow truck to go out and find you.
Alice, why did you do that?
Because I hadn't heard from you, Sam. Did you find the boy?
No, Alice, I thought that maybe by this time you'd have some word from them.
Well, I've had one phone call, Sam, from the Joneses.
The Joneses?
They live out on the North Road. And Mr. Jones says Henry and Homer had been there, and that after they left, he found an automatic pencil with your name on it.
My pencil?
Yes, dear.
Well, that's a fine thing. Alice, I'm going to have a talk with Henry.
Now, dear, let's not worry about a pencil at a time like this. Let's find the boys.
All right.
Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye. Mrs. Edmonds.
Yes, Mr. Aldridge.
Which direction do the Joneses live from here?
Well, you want to go on out this road about 2 more miles.
2 miles?
Yes. Are the boys out there?
No, but they've been out that way.
Mr. Aldridge, I've just been talking with Mr. Edmonds, and he's going to take his car and work in the other direction.
You sure it won't be too much trouble?
No, not at all. He went to bed a little early tonight, but just as soon as he gets his clothes on, he'll be starting.
Oh, thanks. Some night out.
Mr. Aldridge, don't you want me to get you a paper bag to put those earmuffs in?
No, thank you. I'll put them right on.
Is this some night, Homer?
Keep your head down, Henry, and sort of walk backwards.
What do you think I'm doing?
Boy! Henry, look ahead. There's a truck or something.
Where?
Right down the road. It's just standing there.
Oh, boy! Come on!
I'm coming. It's only so fast I can go, though, Henry. Gee whiz, I'm not Hercules.
Look, Homer, it's a tow truck! Hey, mister! Mister!
Who's that?
It's us! Can you give us a lift, please?
Okay, if I can get out of this drift here.
Well, gee whiz, are you going all the way into Centerville?
Yep, just as soon as I find a car I'm out looking for. Hop on the back.
Well, look, do you have room for a cow on your truck?
What's that?
We've got this cow, see? We're taking her into town for a guy, and we're going to surprise him.
You're what?
Sure. He wants to buy a bond.
Say, ain't she cold?
Oh, gee, no. We got two blankets tied around her.
Coming. Shall I tell the boys to come into their supper?
Not for another minute, Will. I want to get these potato pancakes a little bit browner.
I knew all the time we'd find a can of cherries down the cellar. Just a case of our keeping on, we located them.
Didn't I hear Bess mooing when we came up from the cellar?
Well, what if you did? She's all right.
She's good and warm out there in the barn.
Of course she is. She likes the cold.
All right, Will. You better call them.
Boys, Mrs. Cooper has a little surprise for you. Boys.
Tell them to hurry right up, Will.
Boys. Oh, boys!
Come on, Beth. Come on. Come with Henry.
You know, Henry, she isn't a bad cow, is she?
No, she isn't. And I think she likes walking better than she did riding on that truck.
Boy, that wasn't a lot of work. Just nicely got her on the darn thing, and he runs right into another drift.
That driver was a nice guy, though. It was very decent of him to promise to buy a bond from us.
Wait a second, Henry. Wait a second.
What's the matter?
Have we gotten off the road a little?
Oh, boy, where'd this snowdrift come from? Now, wait, Homer. Get around on the other side of her, and we'll try to back her out.
Atta girl. Oh, wait a second, Henry. Wait a second. I think she's getting cold around the ears.
Well, what are you going to do?
Tie my muffler around her head, what do you think?
Well, gee whiz, that's a good idea. Then she'll be really comfortable.
A lot happened here in part one of The Aldrich Family Lost in the Snow. Sounds like a typical Michigan, Ohio, Northern New York winter.
Wherever, yeah.
Yep. Welcoming a new chatter today, Duck Northwest Media. Welcome. Hope you're enjoying the show.
Hey, a little bit about Ezra Stone. Of course, he was Henry Aldrich in this until 1942 when he left for the armed forces. When he came back, he spent most of his time directing and producing, and especially in television. His first job directing was a TV episode of The Aldrich Family. Went on to I Married Joan, where he did directed 35 episodes. Caesar's Hour, an episode of that. Bachelor Father, an episode of that. 10 episodes of Angel. And we get into the 60s. Bob Hope Presents Chrysler Theater. 25 episodes of Living Doll. I think that's all that lasted with that. An episode of Please Don't Eat the Daisies, 27 episodes of The Munsters, 2 episodes of Petticoat Junction, 3 episodes of Laredo, 5 episodes of Pistols and Petticoat. He also did, get this guys, 8 episodes of Lost in Space. He also
gasped.
3 episodes of Flying Nun, Debbie Reynolds, 22 episodes of Julia, 9 episodes of the Jimmy Stewart Show. In the 70s, he directed 5 episodes of Lassie, did 2 episodes of Love American Style, 3 episodes of Space Academy. What it doesn't mention here is what I was watching, an episode of MASH, and his name came up there as a director in that episode as well. So very well represented throughout television without being on it a lot.
There you go. And, of course, the Aldrich Family, I'm trying to put my finger on what it feels like. It almost feels like the Archies, you know, the Archie show in a way, but with more parental involvement.
This
not
episode
Archie.
Is feeling like the Waltons, the first Christmas thing they ever did.
And the GG Sci paper said they've heard several episodes, but they hadn't heard this one. And this is, I know they'll confer with me on this, this is a little bit more serious than the usual Henry Aldrich. He gets into trouble, but this is a little bit more serious than the average Henry Aldrich. That they're out lost in the snow, the big snowstorm and such.
And something really cool about this is the time and how things have changed. Back then, this community of people, they knew each other to the point where your kid could stay over at someone's house for safety, and it was okay. It wasn't like we need to call the police, you know. Like today.
Oh man, when I was growing up in Buffalo, the whole neighborhood was the watchdog. If I did all the neighbors would call my parents. Yeah.
You were in trouble before you got home back then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you were in trouble before you knew it.
Yep.
That's right.
All right, who's the neighborhood narc?
Now they just call the cops. Yeah.
Well, no. Yeah, you extending a friendship or a kindness can actually be rewarded as like, we don't trust them people. We don't know those people. We don't interact with those people. It's those people. And we're all in this game together. You have to protect yourself.
Well,
you
might
be.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
To your point.
Yeah. However, what's funny about this, the direction of the plot is very similar to something that would happen much later, in I think 1971, where there was something called A Christmas Story, I think, where it was the first introduction of the Waltons, and it was the eldest boy had to get in a vehicle, a conveyance of some type, and go search in a blizzard for his father.
For his father, yeah. The original homecoming story, yeah.
That's it. Thank you. Yeah, I couldn't remember the name of it. I can't even remember my name, so that's okay. Yeah.
It's Samuel. Samuel Getwurst.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I'm getting somebody else's mail. I'm going to call the post office.
That's a federal festival delivered at the wrong place.
I know. Yeah. I don't know who this guy is. Sure has a lot of bills, whoever it is. I don't know what's going on.
Somebody ought to pay him.
I wouldn't trust him.
He might be a communist. I don't know.
Oh, God. Then again, you might never know.
A ne'er thee weller. How about that?
A new do well, yes. New do well.
Oh, what was that thing called? A rabble rouser.
Hooligan.
A hooligan, yeah.
A hooligan, yeah.
A hooligan full of shenanigans. Yeah,
There you go. And we'll get some more radio shenanigans with as Dave mentioned, not as lighthearted as usual, but this is the Aldrich family lost in the snow. Let's wrap this one up.
Yeah,
we'll be back.
Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Aldrich's residence. Why, no, Mr. Kilmer, I haven't heard a word from Sam. Yes, Mr. Kilmer, they went right out on the North Road. Well, if you don't mind taking your car out on a night like this, I'd certainly appreciate it.
Gee, Homer, it's nice and warm in here.
Yeah, boy. Imagine finding a roadside stand open this time of night.
Boy, I wish we had a little money with us.
I'll say. Something smells good, doesn't it?
Homer, are you sure you tied Bess real tight?
Sure, I tied it with a special slip knot I learned from a guy.
She ought to be very comfortable where we left her. There isn't any wind there or anything.
Something I can do for you, boys?
Oh, why, no, ma'am. We just... we couldn't have a sort of a drink of water, could we?
A drink of water?
Yeah, we've been out in that darn storm, and are we thirsty?
Which way are you driving?
We're not driving, we're walking.
Walking?
Yeah, we've been selling war bonds, and I guess we got a little further out than we thought we had.
You've been selling bonds?
Yeah.
Had any dinner?
No, ma'am. That's why we'd sort of appreciate a glass of water, if it wouldn't be too much trouble.
Well, you certainly ought to have something, Dee. I'll be glad to fix you up.
Free of charge.
You want a hamburger and some soup?
A hamburger?
The only thing is, you don't have any potato pancakes, do you?
Potato pancakes?
And canned cherries. I sort of had my mind made up for those all day.
Potato pancakes?
And do you have any hay?
Any hay?
Sure, for Beth. She's outside.
Henry, she wouldn't want some corn, too, would she?
No, Homer. It might upset her.
Well, I can get you the potato cakes and the cherries, but I can't get you the rest.
Well, that's all right. I think Bess had a little supper before we left anyhow.
Hey, boys, have either of you got a shotgun?
A shot? A shotgun?
Yeah, there's a moose outside here.
Gee whiz, a moose!
Get the daylight out of it. First, it made a noise like a cow, and then as it swung around the building here and headed out toward the road, I thought it was a big, shaggy moose.
Homer, come on.
Listen, Henry, I'm not going to chase any moose.
Where'd he go, mister? Where'd he go?
He headed right up the road there.
Homer, aren't you coming? That's Bess. Come on.
The troubles of Henry Aldrich. Henry and his friend Homer, outselling war bonds, have been unable to get back home in time for dinner because of a heavy blizzard. The scene opens on a road some distance outside Centerville. The time is very late at night.
Aren't you Mr. Aldrich from Centerville?
I am.
Well, guess you're the fellow I was sent out to tow in.
Oh, yeah?
How'd you get your car sideways across the road like this?
Well, I've been out looking for my son and a friend of his, and I was driving along, and I know you won't believe me, but coming right up the road toward me, I saw a bear.
What's that?
A big black bear. He was walking on all fours, and I jammed on the brakes and swerved around like this.
Well, Mr. Aldrich, there aren't any bears in this part of the country.
That's what I thought, but I saw it with my own eyes. What's that, another car trying to get by?
Hey, what's the trouble here?
There's a fella here says he was just attacked by a bear.
What's that?
Look. While you're hooking on, I'll go into this roadside stand here and phone my wife.
Something I can do for you?
Good evening. You have a telephone here?
Sure, right over there by that jukebox.
Well, by the way, you couldn't be fixing something up for me that's hot, could you?
Well, I've got a special on tonight. Potato pancakes.
Potato pancakes? No, thanks. I'll just telephone.
Fix us up with something right away.
Mother!
Mrs. Aldrich!
Mother! Father!
Gee whiz, do you suppose they've gone out?
Come on, Henry, let's see what's out in the kitchen.
You know, I think Bess is going to be very comfortable where we left her.
I don't know why she shouldn't be.
Look, Homer, look in the icebox. Your favorite food.
What is it, Henry? What is it?
Potato pancakes.
And boy, do I like them cold.
And look, Homer, there's half a cherry pie there.
Oh, boy, we'll split it, Henry.
Here, put it on here over on the kitchen table.
Okay. Oh, boy, what a dinner. Oh, boy.
Now, listen, Homer, when you cut that pie, at least use a knife.
It breaks all right, Henry. It breaks very nicely. Hand me a potato pancake.
Don't bother me, Homer. I just found something.
What?
A note here. It's from my father. It says, Sam, Harriet called and thinks they might have gone to the movies. Have gone down to the movies to look.
Who wrote it?
My mother. Who do you think? Well, I wonder if it's a good picture she's seen.
Aren't you going to eat anything, Henry?
Here, Homer, use a fork. Remember, you're a guest.
I don't need a fork. I'll just roll them up and slip them in.
Answer the phone, will you, while I catch up with you.
Okay.
Homer, won't you please hurry?
I'm going to answer it, Henry. I've got to get my mouth emptied first, though. Hello? Who? Well, this is Homer Brown. Oh, gee whiz, is that you, Mother? Sure, this is Homer. I haven't been any place. Oh, we got a cow, see? A cow! We're going to turn it into war bonds. No, Mr. and Mrs. Aldrich aren't here. They've gone to the movies. Sure. And in a few minutes, I'm going to bed.
Sam, is that you?
Yes, Alice.
My goodness, dear, where have you been?
Where have I been? Where have I been?
Where are the boys? Haven't you found them?
No, Alice. All I found were these earmuffs, this overshoe, and my pencil. Where were you when I was trying to phone you?
Sam, didn't you get my note?
What note?
Oh, of course you didn't, dear. How could you? I've been down to the movies.
You went to the movies?
Yes, dear, and I just called Harriet and gave her a piece of my mind.
What about?
She gets the silliest ideas, Sam. First she called me and said she thought she'd seen the boys going to the movies earlier in the evening. And now what do you think she says?
What?
She says there's a story going around that somebody saw a bear out on the edge of town.
What's wrong with that?
What?
I saw a bear myself.
Now, Sam.
I did, Alice. That's how I got stuck.
Has something gone wrong with the car?
No, it's all right now. I've got it out in front. And what I want to know is where I'm going to look for the boys next. Alice. Do you hear what I just heard?
No, dear. What was it?
Well, I'm not sure, but it sounded like a cow.
Now, Sam, first you see a bear, and then you come home and hear cows.
I don't know what it is I hear, but it certainly is something, and I'm going out to see what it is.
But, Sam... Hello? What's that, Mrs. Edmonds? Mr. Edmonds is back home? He had to leave his car on a hill. Oh, isn't that a shame? Mr. Aldrich left what at your place? His scarf? Well, thank you so much for calling.
Mother.
Goodbye.
Mother, is that you down there?
Henry Aldrich, where are you?
Gee whiz, I've been in bed. Did you see a good picture?
Henry, what's happened to Homer?
Oh, Mrs. Aldrich.
I'm all right. I just have a little stomachache.
For some reason, Mother, we weren't able to get to sleep.
May I ask where you've been?
Selling bonds, Mother. And it looks as though we're going to break all the records.
Boy, I'll say. We sold a bond at darn near every place we went to.
But, dear...
Oh,
but...
gee, look at my earmuffs. Did I leave these here before I start off today?
Henry, your father found those.
Father? Where is he?
He's outside, dear. And when he comes in, I wouldn't bother him very much.
Is something wrong with him, Mrs. Aldrich?
He's tired, Homer. Very tired. And so much on edge, he even thinks he hears a cow.
A cow, Mother?
Yes, dear. He just stepped out to look for one.
Gee whiz, Henry. Do you suppose Bess is calling us?
Who?
Bess, Mother. Bess. Our war bond cow.
Sure, Mrs. Aldrich. We're going to surprise a farmer.
Surprise a what?
A farmer, Mother. We're going to sell his cow for him.
Where?
Where?
Henry, where is the cow?
Out in the garage.
In the garage?
Sure, we brought her all the way into town.
Through this storm?
Yes, Mother, but we kept her good and warm.
And we now have a cow out in our garage?
Sure, we even gave her some oatmeal.
Boy, did she laugh it up.
Now, dear, oatmeal.
Sure, Mother, we even put some milk on it.
Milk? You gave her some of our milk?
Oh, no, Mrs. Aldrich, we grew some off of her and poured it on the oatmeal.
You, I'd go back upstairs before your father comes in.
Right now?
Right now.
Will you promise to call us, Mrs. Aldrich, if he feels Bess wants us?
Yes, dear.
Come on, Homer. As a matter of fact, I'm beginning to feel the strain a little myself.
Same here. At least I want to lie down.
Alice?
Yes, Sam?
I know you'll say I'm seeing things, but there is a cow in our garage.
Well, yes, dear, of course there is.
What's that?
The boys put her there.
What boys?
Henry and Homer. They're upstairs in bed.
Why didn't you tell me? What did they bring a cow home for?
Well, Sam...
Of all...
Now, Sam, where are you going?
I'm going up and have a talk with them.
Now, Sam, come back here.
What for?
Don't you realize those boys have been selling bonds all day?
That's no excuse, Alice. Think of what I've been through tonight.
But do you think of what they've been through, too? They sold a bond at every house they went to.
Yes?
And that cow, Sam, that upset you so. Do you realize what that cow is?
What?
A war bond pledge.
What's that?
Yes, dear. And they led her all the way back to town through this storm and everything. They hadn't even had supper. My goodness, Sam, don't you realize what that means?
But, Alice, they might have given us a little consideration.
Sam, they hadn't even given themselves consideration. There's only one thing that was important, and that was to sell just as many bonds as they possibly could. That's the only spirit with which we're going to win this whole war.
Well...
Mother?
Yes, dear?
Could you come take a look at Homer?
At Homer?
Yes, please. He's beginning to think the cherries in that pie weren't pitted.
Listen again next week, same time, same station, for another sparkling half hour with your favorite youngster, his family, and his pals. The Aldrich Family, starring Ezra Stone, is written by Clifford Goldsmith.
And that wraps up the Aldrich Family. That was fun, Dave. We got to have those back to the channel.
Yes. You know, there's so much stuff we haven't even touched on yet. So many great stories and things that as the themes get a little tougher, we think add in a little bit of comedy programs here and there, which is a great way to kick off the show as we get warmed up for some of the better dramas.
Yep. And speaking of drama, here's a dramatic entrance. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
A cash cow keeps on giving. However, a hot steak only feeds you once.
There you go.
Oh, that was a good one. I like that one. I like that one. Yeah, very good. Very good. If you didn't amuse anybody else, you certainly amused me. How's that?
Yeah, I'll take that as a plus.
Carrie, you are on your game. You are on your game.
Yeah. Mm. But it's snowing out there in Erie House Land, Dale.
Yes.
We've got more radio, of course, about snow, and we haven't had a whole lot here, although when it has, it's been the big, giant, flaky type.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Now, I was telling you guys earlier, before we started on the show, that, yeah, we had blizzards and stuff when I was a kid. We lost 6 months of school. It was amazing.
6 months? Oh, it's 6 months now. My goodness. How did you ever graduate?
Night classes.
Oh, okay.
Night classes.
It didn't go at night, huh?
I got Dave again. Okay, there you go.
Zoom meetings were done with two cans and a length of string.
And a length of string, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. That's
right.
I did try it. Did you guys ever try that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yes.
I had it, you know, we had one house between my buddy Bob Kirby and I, and we did that in the backyard, and we had to yell in the can so loud we could actually hear each other without actually the can.
Okay. You maybe you needed better string or different cans or something. I don't know.
Or better batteries or something. I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
Batteries? Our tin cans
okay,
didn't come
Dave,
with
I'm curious now. This is a G-rated show, but where
did you put
the batteries?
Wait a minute. Are you telling me the cans had to be empty? Is that what you're saying?
There you go.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you got to take the sardines out first, Dave.
Nobody told me that.
Or the butter beans or whatever.
Yeah, the butter beans, the pinto beans. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got to take them out first.
There's always a technicality.
Okay, Dave, seriously, if you were yelling in the cans and you could hear each other, what was the point? You had a voice. You could have just yelled at each other.
That goes back to the beginning of chat rooms. And
right.
My buddy and I were at one end, and another buddy, college buddy, was at his house. And we were doing this thing back and forth, texting back and forth, and Bob's wife was explaining what they were doing, and she said, why didn't they just pick up the phone and call them?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
That too.
Do you have any what's your fondest memory of something snowy? Oh, starting with Gar. Your favorite?
For me was, okay, I've just always held a strong belief in Santa Claus, okay? And I can't explain it. It just it is, and some people have something going on, and it just is. So anyway, I remember
there's nothing to explain. It's magical. It's wonderful. I think that's cool.
Exactly. So what would get me would be at one point in my life I was situated in a bedroom, and it was right next to a window, and on Christmas Eve I just sat there and just looked out, and it was like this. We had a snow. There was a snow, and. And with the moon out, the snow was like a hue of blue, and I can't really explain that, but it was. And I kept seeing a twinkling. It was like Mars or something. I don't know what it was. But I kept seeing a red twinkling, and I was like, oh my gosh, freaking Rudolph. I'm going to die here. Oh, this is amazing. I was a little kid, and I was watching this, and I watched it for like a long time until I just fell asleep, I guess. But it was magic. It was just freaking magic. And the snow was a component because you looked out and you see the blue snow. It's
late
at night. It was, wow.
How about you, Dave? What's a fond snow memory for you?
I think a fond snow memory was just, being there in Buffalo and the amount of snow that we got was easily, we would tunnel into the snow and such. And I'm thinking that if it ever collapsed on us, it'd probably kill us. But you never think of things like that. And you can take a shovel and you can dig out and build a snow fort just by digging out part of the snow. I was never good at snowball fights because my mom had these like cloth mittens and the snowballs would stick to it. So it's trying to throw a snowball. It's kind of sticking to my mittens, so
right,
it wouldn't really
right.
go anywhere.
No, you got to let your mittens freeze.
And at the same time, I'm getting punnelled with a buddy of mine who's got gloves that aren't you know?
Yeah.
But
that's
still fond memories.
That's great. My fondest memory, my father was a cement truck driver by trade, and often when there was bad winters, he would be off for a few weeks and at home. But he was one of those guys that had to make, build, create something. You know, he did every household repair. He never called a guy except for the television. You know, anything else, he would take his hand at fixing. Anyway, when he ran out of things to fix in the snow, he would sculpt things. One year, he made the train for Monopoly, big enough for us kids to get in and play on. Another year, I remember it was, you know, like a corner place where you'd pile the snow when you shoveled the sidewalk to the house and the driveway. He carved a bust of Christ with the Sacred Heart and his arms spread out. It was amazing. But the thing that got me the most when we moved to the new house over to the east suburbs of Cleveland, where you got more snow on the east side usually. He set the family to roll in these giant snowballs. He says, just keep rolling them till you're bigger than yourself and put them end to end. I want three of them. And as he, you know, as we were putting them into place, he's chopping and carving with his hands and little tools and what have you. Then he got this, you remember those sticks you'd stick in the ground that you'd hang your laundry, you know, you'd tie your laundry line to? Those aluminum poles?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He stuck one in the side of it, all right? Started packing snow, got up on a ladder, he's packing snow all the way up this pole. When he was done, across two-thirds of our backyard was a giant brontosaurus. He had made out of snow. Yeah. The guy, and those are my fond memories of snow, is him sculpting things, just amazing things out of the snow.
Wow. My snow adventures are always synonymous with Christmas time.
Yeah. Well, tonight there's a little bit of adventure and suspense, and suspense is what we'll wrap up with, I think, tonight. But we got a quickie here for you from the strange Dr. Weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from the creators of, not only the creators of Mysterious Traveler, they created this show as well. What was it, Gara? I think like 26 episodes, which they syndicated out. Adam's Hats was a sponsor, certainly in New York. And also coming from Mysterious Traveler was Mysterious Traveler himself, but in this show, he was the strange Dr. Weird.
Tonight's
show is entitled Survival of the Fittest from Strange Dr. Weird. And do we got us a broadcast date?
We do. One that Dave might like even more. January 23rd, 1945.
I agree.
According to some sources.
Uh-huh. The Strange Dr. Weird.
Good evening. Come in, won't you? Why, what's the matter? You seem a bit nervous. Has the cemetery outside this house upset you? There are things far worse than cemeteries. For instance, being lost in an Arctic storm, as in the story I want to tell you tonight. The story I call Survival of the Fittest. Story, Survival of the Fittest, begins in the cold, bleak wastes of Alaska, stretching endlessly as far as the eye can see, in one vast white expanse. The fierce winter wind hurls itself at a small cabin almost buried by the snow. In the cabin, four men are huddled around the embers of a fire.
Mike, what are we gonna do?
We're leaving the first thing in the morning for Goldfield.
In this storm?
It's either make a try for Goldfield or die here of starvation.
Mike's right, Paul.
Were to stay here, our food would be gone in 5 days. Much better we try to get to town.
Kiana, how's the weather look to you? You think it'll blow over by tomorrow?
Storm bad. Not blow over soon.
All right, that settles it. We're getting out of here first thing in the morning.
How far do you think we've come in these 4 days, Mike?
I should say about 70 miles.
That means 50 more miles to Goldfield.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard 50 miles, too. Dogs are all worn out. We only have food enough for one day.
Mike, you don't think we'll have any trouble making it, do you?
In this country, you always have trouble. Only the strong and ruthless survive. Hola! Hurt! Here! Kiana, come here.
Me come.
Why are you calling Kiana, Mike?
Kiana's having trouble breaking trail for the dogs. He's slowing us down, eating food that might pull us through. He's no longer useful to us.
Be here.
Kiana?
What do you want?
I'm afraid we don't need you anymore.
You not understand.
Huh? Maybe this'll make you understand.
Mike!
Somebody!
No, don't! You've killed him.
Yeah, I had to. I told you only the strong can survive. We need the food here to be eaten. Paul, you start breaking trail for the dogs. We're going on. Come on! Push! Push! Hiya! Push!
Mike, it's been 2 days since we've eaten anything.
We can't go on without food, Mike. Why don't we kill one of the dogs?
Yeah.
Because we need every dog we have to pull the furs on the sled. All right, Paul, start breaking trail for the dogs. We've rested enough.
No, I can't. I'm too tired. The dogs can break their own trail.
Why, you young whelp, I'll...
Go ahead. Shoot me, like you did Kiana.
You're not worth wasting a bullet on. If you're too tired to break trail, you can remain behind.
Well, Mike, you can't leave him here to die.
Oh, can I? Are you ready, Victor?
Yes, I'm ready. Paul, run along behind the sled.
All right, Victor.
Marsh! Must you hear?
Mike, why don't you let me throw away this bundle of furs I'm carrying? Then I could break trail for the dogs.
Throw away $500 worth of furs? I should say not. Come on! Mush!
Paul! Paul, don't stop behind. Keep running.
I will, Victor. As long as I can.
Mike, look! The dogs are disappearing!
Victor, let go of the sled!
Mike, the dogs and sled have vanished in that crevasse in the ice!
Yeah. A year's furs lost in a few seconds.
What do we do now?
Now we'll start floundering through the snow towards Goldfield. If our strength holds out, we'll make it. If it doesn't, we'll die.
Right now, Doctor, I've got a quickie mystery of my own I'd like to solve.
A mystery?
Mystery of two men. You see, these two gentlemen are both nice-looking fellows, act alike, talk alike, even wear similar clothes. Yet there is a difference. The appearance of one somehow seems more distinguished than the other. Ah, you've guessed it. The solution to the mystery is simple. One man always wears an Adam hat. Yes, gentlemen, the perfect style and quality of an Adam does make a difference. A difference that all well-dressed men recognize at a glance. Made of rich-looking all-fur felt, the new Adam hats come in a wide variety of distinctive styles and shapes, and are priced at only $3.45 to $10 at Adam Hat stores and authorized dealers from coast to coast. Mister, if you want to look your best always, always wear an Adam. Now, Dr. Weir.
Now I'll finish my story, Survival of the Fittest. It is early the next morning. Three figures, mere specks on the vast white expanse, make their way slowly and painfully across the snow. Finally, one, unable to go any further, stops and sinks into the snow.
Mike, wait! Fallen down! Paul, you must get up and keep going. If you don't, you'll freeze to death.
I can't walk another step, Victor. I'm too tired.
Ah, so he's fallen down, eh? Well, Paul, you'll either get up and start walking or stay behind and die.
Mike, if each of us took him by the arm, we could help him along.
Nothing doing. It's every man for himself. I'm not going to waste my strength.
Paul, you must get up. Here, let me help you.
No, leave me alone. I can't go any further.
Mike, we can't leave him here to die.
Why can't we?
Because it's inhuman.
It's common sense. The weak die and the strong live. Now, are you going on with me, or are you going to stay behind to die with him?
Paul. Paul, you must get up.
Can't you say nothing can save him now? He's half frozen already. Are you coming, Victor?
Yes, I'm coming, Mike. Goodbye, Paul. May the Lord have mercy on your soul.
As the two men continued on their way, the snow swept over Paul's body and soon hid it from sight. Hour after hour, Mike and Victor struggled along. For the first time in days, they saw the sun, and its warmth helped them to withstand the cold. Well, late that afternoon, Victor began to fall behind.
Mike, wait for me.
Hurry up!
I'm coming as fast as I can.
You'll never get to Goldfield at this rate. Must be at least another 10 miles.
10 miles? I'll never make it without food. My stomach feels as though... Like you're eating something.
Yeah, that's right.
You're eating pemmican. Where'd you get it?
Get it? I had it all the time in this pouch.
You mean the food didn't run out 4 days ago?
It ran out for you and Paul, but not for me. I just finished eating the last of it.
So you stole the food that might have saved Paul and myself. You're nothing but a dirty murderer. A murderer and a thief. Do you hear?
Yeah, but when all's said and done, Victor, I'm going to live and you're going to die.
Someday, Mike, you'll pay for your crime. And when that day comes...
Hey, listen, a plane. Where is it? My eyes. Everything's a little blurry. Oh, yeah, there it is. Look.
A plane.
It's coming this way. They see us. It's an army plane.
They dropped something. A package.
Food. That's what it is.
Yeah, and look. Look, it landed in the snow. Only 100 yards from us.
Yeah? Where? Darn that sun in my eyes. I can't see it. Yeah, I see it now. That package will do me nicely until I reach Goldfield. I'll make it for sure now.
There's plenty for both of us in it, Mike. You are going to share it with me, aren't you?
All you're going to get is this. Don't... I won't have you telling any tales about me later. After I pick up that package, I won't be back.
Mike, come back. Don't leave me here to die.
Where did that package drop? I thought I... Oh, there it is, over there, half buried in the snow. Funny, first I can see it, then I can't. My eyes, they feel as if knives are being stuck into them. I can't see. What's happening to me? My eyes, I'm snowblind. That's it. The glare of the sun all day. I'm snowblind. Victor! Victor, where are you?
I'm back here, Mike.
Victor, you gotta help me. I can't see a thing. I'm snowblind.
You mean you can't see anything?
No. My eyes hurt so I can't stand it. It's the sun, the glare all day. That's done it. My eyes feel as if they were full of needles whenever I open them.
What do you want me to do, Mike?
Now look, crawl over to that package. You still have enough strength. And bring it over here. It'll keep us alive. In a day or two, I'll be able to see again, and I'll get us both in the Goldfield.
I can't, Mike. My legs are too stiff.
What?
I can't move them. We'll both die here.
No, I won't die. I won't. I'll find that food myself. I know which direction it was in. I can find it if I hunt long enough.
That's what you think.
Yeah, you're just trying to confuse me. It's in this direction. I know it is. I can feel the sun on my face.
Mike, come back. Stop. Come back.
I am going right. Or you wouldn't be trying so hard to stop me. I'll show you, Victor. I'm going to live, you hear? I'm going to live. And you're going to die.
No, Mike. Come back, Mike. There's a crevasse in the ice ahead of you. You'll fall into it.
You expect me to fall for a sucker trick like that? The crevasse was behind me. I remember that.
Mike, look out!
Too bad about Mike, wasn't it? Or was it? It was really his own fault he fell into the crevasse. Because, you see, Mike, being the kind of man no one could trust, felt he could trust no one. Victor, Victor lived. He finally managed to get to the package of food and survived until a rescue party could reach him next day. So if you're ever tempted to sacrifice your friends to save yourself, just remember that... Oh, you have to go now? Perhaps you'll drop in again soon. Just look for the house on the other side of the cemetery. The house of Dr. Weir.
That story cracks me up. And to crack you up even further. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Scar's Moral of the Story.
In cases of blindness of perspective, there's no eye exam to help correct it. There you go.
So, Dale, has anybody ever called you the Segway King before, Dale?
They're just rumors. I've heard vicious rumors.
Well, okay. Well, I was going to say, they would be wrong, but okay.
We do what we can. We do what we can. Working with what we've got.
With what we got.
Sorry you guys are stuck with me. That's how it worked out. You know.
I always work with what I don't have. That way I'm never wanting.
There's always a good use for a good one once in a while. Anywho. We'll wrap up with what I think is going to be our most intense story from Suspense.
You would be right.
And who knows? We may have time for some additional material from old time radio. This one's called Snow on 66. Root, I hope.
Yep. I believe that's what it is.
Because that gets my kicks. On Route 66.
On Route 66, yeah. That's true.
Here we go.
I had some exception with this, Dave, but maybe it was what it was. There's this amazing adventure about snow. but the air date's in July. I'm like, was this someone's joke? What?
Maybe it was rejected in December and they aired it. Actually, a lot of Christmas movies back in the day were released in March and June and such because they didn't really know. I mean, it's not the same in this case, but they didn't know whether the movie would make it or not. Bishop's Wife was actually released in February, the original one. That way they could run it again at Christmas time, so if it didn't make up its money first run, it would make it up in the Christmas time then.
Yeah, well, and your February is still kind of festive. It's cold. It could be snow on the ground. Could be a little bit still festive,
that's true.
A little bit, maybe, you know, and then it could roll over. But this July? Okay, anyway. But I digress.
It couldn't hide.
I have the full air date instead of just talking about July, though.
Maybe they were up on the North Pole. Route 66 goes a long way.
Yeah.
Or,
could be.
Or the South Pole.
That's some rough radio right there. We're broadcasting. It sure is cold out here. I don't know. air date I've got on this is July 15th. 1962.
And now, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
You nearly ready, honey?
Darling, it takes time to put on lipstick properly.
Well, I'm sure the natives will love you as you are.
What natives? Where are we, Charlie?
You mean to sit there making up that
utterly provocative lower lip after we arrive at the biggest motel in the only town on 150 miles of desert highway and not know where we are?
Well, I suppose I could find some postcards or envelopes in one of these drawers.
Nah, you just stick with the decorating. I'll fill you in from this folder. Let's see, this is the Beat Tatican. Beat Tatican Motel is located on the outskirts of Red Mountain, Arizona.
So that's where we are.
That's where we are. Red Mountain, Arizona is 485 miles east of Los Angeles. What's more, the temperature is now 20 degrees. It's expected to drop to 5 below tonight with snow before morning.
Well, now, it doesn't say that in the folder.
No, the manager told me that when we registered.
5 below?
Mm-hmm.
I've never been where it got that cold.
Oh, you California gals, all you've got going for you there is climate. You never have weather.
I'm sorry I failed you so early in our marriage.
Better to know the worst right away. Well, come on, let's eat.
I'm ready. Now how do I look?
You look fine to me. But the Indians may think white men go on warpath again.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. White squaw wear heap much war paint.
Funny, man. Got the key.
I got it. Let's go.
Ooh, it's cold.
20 degrees and dropping. Hey, be careful. There's ice there.
Oh.
Here, hang on to me.
What's that?
It's a train. That's what it is. Look, over there, across the road.
A train? Out here in the middle of nowhere?
Sure. It's main line from L.A. to Chicago. Runs alongside the highway out here for hundreds of miles.
Look at them eating dinner in that dining car. Mm-hmm. I'll bet they're nice and warm.
Want to change places?
Oh, they look so safe. I don't want to be safe. I want adventure.
You picked a great place for it. Red Mountain, the hot spot of northern Arizona. Just look at it. There's one main street and 52 motels, 87 gas stations.
And 6 restaurants featuring chill mac and canned soup.
Yeah, the manager shills for the Kachina Doll down toward the center of town.
Watch out for that little truck, Charlie.
I see him. He's far enough away, I think. Oh, that's so-and-so.
What's the matter, dude?
I don't know. He waited till I pulled out in front of him, and then he let me have his bright lights. Nearly blinded me in the rear vision mirror.
Oh, maybe he's signaling he wants to pass.
Let him.
Oh, that's it. He's blowing his horn. There he goes.
He's been in an awful hurry.
Oh, look out. He's putting out his brakes.
Hey, I nearly piled into him.
He's drunk, that's what.
Or crazy. Well, now he's slowed down to 20. Well, I'll have to pass him.
We won't let you.
What is this? I speed up, he speeds up.
Let him go then, Charlie.
It's a good thing nobody was coming toward us.
Watch out, he's slowing down again.
15.
Do you suppose he's doing that on purpose?
Oh, I don't know. Hey, come on, get going. I'm going to have to try it again. He won't let me by.
He is doing it on purpose. Well, there's the restaurant, the Kachina Doll.
Where?
Over there. They're on the left.
Well, there's one way of losing our comedian. I'll just peel off to the left and let him have the highway to himself.
He doesn't seem to want the highway, Charlie.
Hmm?
Look up the road. He's turning into that gas station. He's coming back.
I'll let him. Come on, let's eat.
Charlie, you better lock the car.
Why?
Him.
There's nothing for anybody to take.
I'd feel better if you locked it.
Oh, all right.
Look. Look, he's cruising by, looking us over like he was a cop and we did something.
Yeah, maybe he is. It occurred to me when he first swung in front of us.
Well, he isn't in uniform.
Well, yeah, the car's all locked. Let's go.
Charlie, down the road. He's turning round again. What's the matter with him?
Yeah, whatever it is, it's his problem. Let's eat.
Good evening, and how are you folks tonight?
Cold. We're not too late for dinner, are we?
Oh, no. We can take care of you. Right this way, please.
Oh.
Well, here's a nice booth for two.
Good.
Care for a little drink?
Oh.
Yeah, sit down. Bye.
Well.
No, I don't think we do. I'm pretty hungry. Let's just have some food, because we're starved. Let's see the menu.
Okay. Coming right up.
Charlie.
What?
The driver of that pickup truck. He just came in.
So? It's a public place.
But he's coming over here.
Let him.
Hey, you.
Don't pay any attention to him.
Hey, you.
Were you speaking to me?
Yeah, that blue 61 Chevy outside, that belong to you?
It does.
Well, I want to talk to you.
What's on your mind?
Outside.
Charlie, don't go.
I said, what's on your mind?
Now, look, bud, I don't like people cutting in front of me.
You mean when I drove out of the motel?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I didn't realize you were coming on so fast.
Yeah, well, I could have killed you. I could have run you down and killed you.
Yes, you could. It was stupid of me not to realize the danger I was in.
Yeah, well, I don't like people doing things like that.
I don't blame you. And believe me, it won't happen again.
Yeah, better not. Because the next time, brother, I'll kill you.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Yeah, I'll kill you next time.
I'll remember that.
Yeah, you do that. I don't like that kind of jazz.
And I don't blame you.
Yeah, I accept your apology. And only you remember the next time.
I remember. Next time, you'll kill me.
Yeah. And don't you forget it.
Believe me, I won't.
He was drunk, Charlie.
At least.
I could smell it all the way across the table.
Well, that's why I agreed with him.
You were wonderful.
I was afraid you'd think I was chicken.
Oh, no.
Well, there's no point arguing when they're that far gone. No wonder he drove the way he did.
I'm proud of you. You left him with nowhere to go but out.
Hey, did he give you any troubles?
No, not really.
Oh. But he might have. He might have killed us out there on the road.
Oh, Leroy don't mean no harm.
You know him?
Ah, sure. Everybody knows Leroy. He talks rough, but he don't mean no harm. Well, you folks decided?
I'm not very hungry now.
Oh, but you must eat something, hon.
You order for me.
Gracious, I'm afraid I've lost my appetite, too.
Fried pork chops is nice tonight, with flour gravy.
No, I think not. Have you any soup?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Vegetable, tomato, green peas.
In cans?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes.
Good. Good, I'd prefer it that way.
You do?
Yes, then the cook can't get at it.
Huh?
We'll have vegetable soup.
Well, okay. Two vegetable soups. And what else?
That's all.
Yes, ma'am. And listen, don't let Leroy upset you. He's just a big kid, that's all.
Oh, who put that on?
Another folk song.
Charlie?
Hmm?
Are you sure you locked the car?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Maybe you better go look.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe he's done something. Oh, broken a window, slid a tire, I don't know.
Well, I was thinking the same thing. Okay, I'll go look.
But be careful.
Okay.
I've been thinking, hon. I think we ought to report him to the police.
Maybe.
We could have been killed, you know. If anybody had been coming the other way, when he wouldn't let us past him, we'd have been killed.
I know.
If he tried the same thing on somebody else and they were hurt or worse, I'd never forgive myself.
Well, here we are, folks. Two vegetable soup? There. Say, are you sure you don't want to try the fried pork chops?
Quite sure, thank you.
Miss, can you call the police for me?
The police? What for?
I ask you now, can you call them for me?
Now, look, if it's on account of Leroy, well, I wouldn't do that if I was you.
You're not me, are you?
No. Well, I'll call them if you say so, but, you know, I'm kind of glad I'm not you.
What kind of a crack is that?
Leroy. You don't bother me.
Thank you.
Leroy, dude, is kind of creepy here on this episode of Suspense, No 166.
You know, you have those small towns where you have these kind of oddballs like that, and of course that never happens today, anything like that.
What's it? Can't think of it. There's some town in the northwest that's having problems. I forget. It was on fire. I don't know. No, but this is actually a case of severe bullying on the highways and byways, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and road rage and drinking and driving. I think you added quite a bit list of. To this particular episode here.
I personally found this to be true. It took me a while to finally figure it out. Every time I get on the interstate, if I survive it, there's a story.
Yeah.
I mean, you see the most unusual. I've seen a pickup truck, pass me on the interstate. And it was on fire. And I was like, okay, wait a second. Wait. I mean, it was on fire. And I'm like, your car's on fire. I mean, whatever was in the bed of that truck was on fire. I was like, "Is good." Yeah. So that's some crazy
stuff. I hope
we
weren't hauling dynamite. I hope we weren't
hauling
dynamite.
No, I think
they
were hauling fire. That's what they were hauling.
They were hauling fire.
We got to hurry this before it blows out.
This afternoon, we'll be right on by with your fire, you know.
Yeah. We just invented it.
We just invented it, yeah. It's right next to the wheel, you know.
Yes.
But, the instances of this is probably very real and occurring right this minute somewhere on the highways and byways right this minute. It's bullying and just crazy stuff. I mean, I've run across some people. Oh, there's a song. There's a song by, what's his name? Louder Milk? No. It's called Roadhog.
Louder Milk.
I can't remember his name.
Is that Wayne? Wayne
Butter Milk.
No.
Butter Milk.
No. I have it because it's something that I show on Horrible Heart. I can't remember the name of it. I know the name of the song is called Roadhog. And it's about this guy that's roadhog, and he doesn't know it, but he's roadhogging a police officer, and they get him. Yeah.
That's right. I remember seeing that video now. Now that you
it's not Louder Milk? What's that guy's name? Roadhog, Louder Milk.
I don't know.
Wainwright?
John D. Louder Milk, 1962,
okay.
Roadhog.
I'll be darned.
I mean, I know you guys thought I was having a stroke or something, but no, Louder Milk is the guy's name. Yeah.
Well, there's many times you think so. It's not fair.
Well, you know, most of the time I'm having a stroke anyway. You know. He's stroking out. No, it's just Gar. You know.
It's my turn. I hope we're on the air.
I'm going down, boys. I'm taking you with me. Yeah, okay, sure.
This is going to make great radio.
It's going to be great radio. Put it in my epitaph, whatever that is.
Good heavens.
Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe. Hard Rock and Coco and Joe.
Lions and Tigers and Bears.
No, Hard Rock and Coco and Joe. That's not a favorite of you guys?
What's that? Hard Rock and
Hard Rock and Coco and Joe. The Christmas classic. I'm Hard Rock, I'm Coco, I'm Joe. And with Santa Claus and all that, you don't know? Nothing?
Time to go to the home.
I'm out.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm out. I'm drawing a blank.
1951.
Oh, you know what happened? That month?
Castle Films.
You know what happened that month, Gar? I wasn't born.
Oh, really?
See,
if it wasn't for those 2 years I missed school due to snow, you weren't born yet. That's the worst excuse yet.
My stomach is tickling.
And this is why we love the radio. We have so much fun together.
We love each other. We have fun.
We do.
We
do.
Oh, Dave, that's funny. You hurt me. You really hurt me. Oh.
Oh, my.
Oh, I've got more pain for you, sir.
Oh, no.
Yep.
He means it, too. All right.
I
why
do.
Not wrap
I
up
do.
Snow on 66, and then we got time
for some
stuff. Oh,
that's right. Yeah, we're doing a radio show. I forgot.
Fool around a little bit.
What are we?
With old time radio.
And... Oh, there we go.
Oh,
oh, okay. All right.
Snow on 66.
It's okay as long as we don't hear bells.
Yes, officer. I wrote down the license number,
880-008. Yeah, that's right, officer. It was an International Harvester pickup, painted red and shiny.
That's Leroy, all right.
That's his horn.
No, lady, that ain't Leroy. That's the Orange Empire Express. Goes through here every night at 9:42.
Oh. Well, anyway, this Leroy was drunk.
Mm-hmm, more than likely.
He's driving in a fog.
And you want me to arrest him?
Don't you think you should before he causes an accident or hurts or kills somebody?
Oh, that ain't likely.
Well, how do you know?
I know Leroy.
Well, look, I know my rights. I hope you know your duty. I want you to swear out a warrant for the arrest of this Leroy. I want you to go out and pick him up and put him in jail till he sobers up.
Oh, Leroy's the same, drunk or sober. It makes no difference.
Then maybe he should go to another kind of institution.
You sure you want to make a formal complaint?
What's going on here? Is this Leroy the son of the mayor or the nephew of the governor or something? What kind of a conspiracy is this? Your boy Leroy could have killed me and my wife, and yes, I do want to make a formal complaint. That's what I thought I was doing.
Look at it this way. You're just passing through town. Chances are you won't be back this way for months, years, maybe never. But me, I got to live here with Leroy and all the other Leroys in town. We get quite a few of them. They're just big kids. They don't really mean no harm, but they get restless. There ain't enough to do in this burg, only one movie show. The TV don't come through good. That leaves the bars.
So they get their kicks on 66, scaring the pants off of tourists as they pass through.
Sounds kind of silly when you put it that way, but that's about the size of it. Tell you what I'll do. I'll have a talk with Leroy next time I see him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want you to put him behind bars now. Tonight, before he kills someone.
Gee, mister, I sure would like to oblige you, but I wouldn't know where to begin looking for him at this hour of night. With the weather kicking up a blizzard, why, I just wouldn't know where to begin. That's a fact.
I don't mean to invade your privacy, hon, but haven't you already filed the nails on that hand?
Huh? Oh, yes. Charlie, I'm so nervous I don't know what I'm doing. And I keep hearing noises outside.
Ah, your imagination's playing tricks.
I suppose so. But just a minute ago, I thought I heard them again. Oh, Charlie, I know it's silly, but would you please check the car again for me?
Oh, come on, Flo.
Please. And then I promise I'll get ready for bed.
All right.
Flo.
What is it?
Somebody let the air out of the back tire.
Leroy.
Come on, answer the phone.
Hurry, Charlie, hurry.
Well, they don't answer. And no wonder.
What?
That's this card here. It says, the motel switchboard is closed after 10 p.m.
Oh, but we've got to get air in those tires.
Well, couldn't it wait till morning?
No, Charlie. I will not stay in this place a minute longer with that crazy man out there beeping his horn at us and I don't know what all. Next thing, he'll murder us in our beds.
And I can't get anybody to answer the phone.
Well, we'll just have to wake up the manager.
I'm not going to like it.
I couldn't care less.
Well, there's nothing I can do for you, Mac. I'm all alone here.
But Can't you come out and...
Call up in the morning. Somebody will take care of you then.
Same thing?
Same thing.
I could have told you. Nobody's coming out in this weather to fix a tire.
How do you get the police?
Well, they ain't coming out either.
Number, please.
Operator, will you give me the police?
Look, you folks are keeping me up.
I'm sorry. This will only take a minute.
Red Mountain Police?
Listen, did you pick up Leroy?
Oh, you.
Yeah, it's me. You got Leroy in jail?
No, I ain't run into him.
I didn't think so. Well, he's just let the air out of my tires.
Sure was him. See him do it?
Of course I didn't see him do it. But my rear tires are flat, and what's more, I can't get anybody to come out here and pump them up for me.
Sorry, that ain't a police matter. But you can get somebody in the morning, no doubt.
Well, I don't want to wait till morning. I don't want to spend another minute in your crummy town. I want to get out of here right now.
Then you're going to have to pump up your tires your own self.
It's a good idea. I just might do that.
That's about all I could suggest. And don't you fret. I'll speak to Leroy as soon as I see him.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Come on, Flo. Let's get out of here.
Just a minute. You owe me for those phone calls.
Yeah, here. Keep the change. By a trip to the moon.
How's it going, honey?
The last one's nearly up. Is the car packed?
Oh, everything's ready to go. Oh, listen. That's him. That's his horn. Hurry, Charlie.
No, no, no. Don't let's panic, Flo. What can he do?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, what's he done, really?
Charlie, just don't try to reason with me. Get that tire pumped up and take me away from here. Oh, please. Please, Charlie, please. Please.
What's the idea of parking out in front of the police station blowing that horn?
Oh.
You're giving this town a bad name, scaring them tourists. They wanted me to arrest you.
Oh, you wouldn't do that to an old friend.
I didn't want to, but then you had to go and let the air out of their tires.
You know, I do the darndest thing sometimes.
No, you're going home. I'll lock you up for being ornery.
You better do that, Pete, because I never make it. You know, I can't see to drive home.
All right, climb out then. I'll give you a cell to sleep it off in.
Yeah.
I said knock off that horn.
Oh, but it sounds so pretty. Pete, you know, you're a real pal. Just a real pal. Putting up a pal for the night. In the jailhouse.
See that sign, hon?
City Limits, Red Mountain. Come back soon. Sure we will. Charlie, I never was so glad to get out of any place in my whole life.
Well, I didn't exactly enjoy it too much myself.
Turn on the radio, huh?
It's funny how a little thing like that can work on you. And grow to on the edge of panic, you know?
Oh, those snowflakes are so big. They come straight at you. And you want to duck because they seem to be coming through the windshield.
The best driving conditions, I can tell you that. Can't be much better than 20.
Oh, I don't care if you have to crawl. We're getting further away from that dreadful town every minute.
Oh, that's all I need.
What?
Oh, some idiot behind me with his high beam on. Only one headlight. It's murder.
Charlie, you don't suppose... Charlie, it's Leroy.
He's overtaken us fast.
You can't let him pass. You can't let him box us out here in this blizzard.
I can't drive much faster.
You've got to, Charlie. Charlie, you've got to.
But I can't see. The snow is just a white wall.
Faster, Charlie. Charlie, he's gaining on us.
Yeah, but that one headlight's in the mirror. It's blinding me, Flo.
He's gaining on us, Charlie. Faster.
Flo, I can't see. I can't see a thing.
Jadigan Motel.
This is Pete over at the police station.
You woke me up.
I'm sorry, Sam. That terrorist that was beefing about Leroy, he's still there?
I wouldn't know. I was trying to get some sleep.
Yeah, well, if you see him, tell him I picked up Leroy. Tell him Leroy's sleeping it off in the jail.
Suspense. You've been listening to Snow on 66, written especially for Suspense by William N. Robeson, and starring Grayson Hall and Jimmy Blaine.
Have a nice trip. Don't forget your phone.
Planning your vacation or a weekend trip? Well, long distance can be a big help. You decide where you want to go, then just pick up your phone and call ahead for reservations. Make sure of a good place to stay. And while you're away, it's so easy to keep in touch with home by telephone. Well, have a good trip, and don't forget the phone. Suspense is produced and directed by Fred Hendrickson. Music supervision by Ethel Huber. Heard in tonight's story were Gwen Davis, James Dimitri, Bill Mason,
Ethel Marvin,
and Sam Raskin. Sound patterns by Walter Otto. This is Stuart Met speaking. Listen again next week when we return with The Next Murder, written by Joseph Corcoran. Another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
There you go.
Wow, I didn't know Ethel Merman was in there. I missed that one.
I know. What happened? They must have cut out the musical part. In this episode that mentioned that one of the actresses was Grayson Hall. Grayson Hall pops up another, 30 years later? In Dark Shadows. No, not 30. No, this is 1962. So in 4 years. She was the doctor on Dark Shadows.
Yeah, and CW beat you to that.
And
I can't see the chat. Yeah.
Gar, I'll bet you could tell us something else, too.
I could.
Eerie House Radio proudly presents another Gar's Moral of the Story.
Always pass on the right. No, it's left, but unless their right is your left. There you go. Pass on the left, not the right. Okay.
Okay.
Anyway.
If you think so.
There you go.
You didn't think about it first.
I wrote it, and then when I read it, it didn't make sense. Wait a second, I goofed up. You pass on the left. No, you pass on the...
Yeah, you pass on the left, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're, unless you're dyslexic. Unless you're dyslexic.
Yeah, unless their right is your left, and then either way. So it doesn't work, but yeah.
I don't know. When that started out, I was thinking, of course, it didn't take place in the snow, but I was thinking of the movie Duel with Dennis
Hopper. Feel kind of like that.
That was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They mentioned in there that it was -5 below, and there's actually a range, and I know, they don't care, but there's a range of temperature, and it has to be not that far away from 32 degrees, like 29 to 32 or something like that. If it's other than that, you're not going to get snow.
Right, that's why usually, and how it used to be in Ohio, the January was the cold month, and February was the snow month, because it would warm up a little bit for February, and that's when we got all of our nasty snows. It hasn't been like that. I mean, now we just get an occasional, storm, but nothing like what we used to get as a steady, constant snow, which was, the way it used to be.
Oh, that's why I laugh when these guys start screaming, snowpocalypse! That's like, really?
Yeah.
Should have been here in the late 70s. That was a good one.
See,
holy cow.
There was a Bing Crosby movie called A White Christmas. So apparently all of this is cyclical that it comes around every once in a while so that December becomes a snow month. And then January, then February, and then, those 7 years I missed of school because of it, but, you know.
That's a heck of a lot of night school.
It was. Man.
You had
to bring your own flashlight.
Luckily, it never snowed at night. Luckily, it never snowed at night, man.
No, no. No snow at night. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. So, I am, I'm, that's not the right word. I'm getting prepared for stuff. And one of the things I'm getting prepared for is The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus by L. Frank Baum. I think it was originally written in 1902, but I forget. It's an amazing thing that they animated this. Rankin Bass animated it about, let's say, 72, so 74 years after it was printed. It took a while. But yeah, this was from 1902. It's a great book. I don't know if you guys read, but
does it have lots of pictures?
It has lots of pictures, and if you don't like the reading,
I'm in.
You can watch the Rankin Bass animated feature that's similar to Rudolph in the stop action motion thing.
Yeah, Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming to town. Is that the what it's based on there? No.
It's actually called The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus, and it. It's where all the woodland elves and things get together, and they go, "We're going to vote immortality to Santa Claus for being such a great guy," and right 1 year before he's going to pass, they get this and they give him bestow upon him the mantle of immortality. And you guys never saw this? I'm sure you did. No?
I don't recall it.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well.
That's two you got us with.
Just a hint, tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern time, I'll be showing that as a pre-feature. It's about 45 minutes long.
That's a good
don't
thing.
You miss it. It's right after tomorrow's show, but we got time to chat about that yet. And time for some more features.
Woo-hoo!
Dave, don't we have a seasonal-type jukebox here?
We have at least one song in the seasonal-type jukebox there, yeah.
Check Petty Cash and see if there's any coins in there.
While you're looking for that... when you guys were snowball fighting, did anybody take the low road and bring a bucket of water so they could make a snowball, dunk it in water, and then pack snow around it and then throw it like a baseball? It hurt like a hardball.
Oh, yeah.
It'd take you off your feet. It might knock you out.
Didn't experience that one.
No, we did not often cheat as kids.
I ran with a rough crowd.
I had to sort through the couch, Dale, but I did find... a dime since inflation has hit the Erie House jukebox. Uh-oh. So if you have found the proper selection, I have the dime to put into the machine.
Weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned down low, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Reba, prepare a few drinks.
Well, I'll reach.
Cause the weather outside really. But since we've no place to go,
let let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Mr. Haynes, if you'll render a ballad for us.
All right.
We'll join in the chorus.
'Cause the lights are way down low.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying.
It's out.
And my dear, we're still goodbye.
Goodbye.
But as long as you love me so, let it snow.
Let it snow. Let it snow. Let it snow.
As long as you got a couple months worth of food in the pantry, why not?
Why not? I've got some spare bananas, so I'm okay.
Yeah, it's no use. Well, okay, I can remember, let's see, going back to 96, 1990, I think there was some snow north in the north area up in that time. Oh, no, wait, no. I have to go back earlier than that. When did I work there? One of my 9,268 jobs worked at JCPenney, and we had snow that year, but I'm trying to remember what year that was. It was like, okay, that was 1985, 1987, 1988. Well, no, okay, that was 86. 19, okay. I was married in 86. So it was like right around 1986 there was snow up north. In some of the East Coast northern places, I remember barely. Brain damage is so much fun. I tell you.
It's fun to watch too.
It is. You know. So yeah, I do recall. I do recall snow and driving in it and. So it's a little less fun if you have to actually drive in it, but I still see snow as festive.
When I was young and dumb, I thought the point was to drive in the crazy snow.
Look, yeah, that is crazy. That's,
yeah, I was not the brightest.
well, we are so glad you made it through. Those turbulent years. Yeah, because that's real rough stuff right there you're talking about. Oh boy.
Yeah,
all I can say is never play chicken with a light pole. Okay. The light pole wins.
Light pole always wins. Always wins.
Light pole always wins.
Yeah.
I compacted my spine and broke a disc in one of my knees because of such behaviors. That wasn't fun.
I once played chicken with a chicken, and at first I lost, but then later, he got fricasseed, so I won.
I'm surprised you could catch a chicken, Dave, but you go, buddy. Chickens are kind of hard to catch. I think Rocky, the movie, kind of proved that it's kind of hard to catch a chicken.
Yeah, especially when you grease them.
Yeah, you don't want to grease your chicken before you try and catch it.
No.
This is
it's like trying to catch your bacon when you grease the pig, yeah.
Yeah.
That whole thing. Yeah, I don't think you should. Yeah, that's a.
No.
You never.
Seems wrong somehow. Seems wrong.
You think?
It is wrong. Because
is it
wrong?
Wrong?
Hey.
I think it's all
got,
right.
Do we still got some time there for a trip to the wheel?
We got loads of time.
Woo-hoo. Oh, do we?
Well, I gave up my last dime out of the cushion, so somebody else better go to the wheel.
Okay, I tell you what. I'll go to the pawn broker and I'll trade in my gold tooth. How about it?
You don't have to do
sure.
that for the wheel.
Just drop off the tooth. That'll be fine.
Yeah, there
Just
we
leave
go.
It in the
All right.
leave it in the cup next to the wheel.
Okay, there we go.
Around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Hello again, Dottie.
Why, Alan, this isn't like you. What's wrong?
Well, tonight's the Academy Award, and I wasn't even mentioned.
Oh, I wouldn't take it so hard.
Well, I'm ignored around Hollywood. Nobody pays any attention to me. Jimmy Fiddler won't even send me a closed letter.
Alan, Alan, you can't get an award for being a comedian. You have to be an actor.
Well, I tried to get Jane Wyman's part in Johnny Belinda. I practiced the dialogue so much I sprained my fingers.
Alan, that's a woman's part.
But that's the kind of a part I want, Dottie. I'm tired of being a comedian. I don't want to make people laugh.
Well, then here, read my line. Look, Alan, if you want to be a dramatic actor, here's your chance. Go ahead, make your pitch for the Academy Award.
Oh, swell, Dottie, I'll do it. I'll be Alan Young in a tragedy that nobody will forget. Music, Henry, please. I was an ordinary man, and that morning started like any ordinary morning. My wife came down the stairs. She said,
"Good morning, Alan. Where's Peter?"
"Dead."
"And where's Philip?"
"Dead."
"And where's Stephen?"
"Dead."
"And where's George?"
"Oh, yes, George." "Dead." "Now, my dear, you're next. There." Yes, what made me do it? To understand that, we must go back to my childhood. My father tried to tell me about life. He explained to me how the bees go from flower to flower. Next day, I fell off a buttercup and broke my leg. I decided to find out about life myself. One night, I dropped into a dance hall. My eyes wandered over the line of hostesses. They were all alike, girls who were painted. Then I saw her. She was different. She was wallpapered. She walked over to me. She said,
"Would you care to dance?"
And I danced. When I got back, she was gone. But I found her again.
Well, why not dance with me, big boy?
I gave her a dime. She tucked it into her stocking and we danced. All evening long we danced. 329 dances. And then... run in her stocking. I loved that girl. And dare I say, she loved me too. The next evening I went back looking for Lola. But the dance hall was no longer there. They had torn it down and put up a used car lot. Lola was gone. Out of sentiment, I had a couple of dances with a 1913 Essex. Then I started my search for Lola. I left no stone unturned to find her. No stone unturned. But instead of Lola, I found...
Oh, Alan, dear.
She'd crawled out from under one of the stones. Her name was Wahilla. And she tried her best. She tried her best to comfort me.
Oh, I know how you feel, Alan. When I was a young girl, the man I loved went away and never came back.
Well, we lost a lot of men at Valley Forge.
Oh, Alan, dear, how can you say that? I'm just touching 30.
Touching it? You're beating the living daylights out of it. And so I married Wahilla. Life with her had its little problems. Each night she'd use skin cream, cold cream, vanishing cream, and face cream. All night long she kept slipping out of bed. And then one day, a letter came. It was from Lola. She had married the wealthy Lord Cedric Farthington. In 10 minutes, I was in front of Lola's house. I rang the bell. Lola opened the door.
Lola!
Alan.
Lola.
Alan.
Lola!
Alan.
Gladys.
Charlie.
You have to do something to break the monotony.
Alan, I can't stand this any longer. We've got to run away together.
But we can't. We can't. We simply can't. You're married to Sir Cedric, and that's against the law.
Then we'll go somewhere where there are no laws, where life is primitive, where the natives gather at night for their wild tribal dances and fight for the woman they love.
Ah, who wants to move to Houston? What? I don't know.
Oh, it's too late. I've already put a pint of poison in my husband's tea, and Sir Cedric will soon drink it. Now kiss me.
Wait a minute. Isn't that your husband coming down the stairs?
I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to kiss you.
Oh, dash it, dear. If the chap's selling something, buy it and send him on. Now I have a cup of tea.
Sir Cedric, don't drink it. Lola put a pint of poison in your tea.
Oh, come now. She knows I take lemon. This story about the poison in my tea is fantastic. Here, I'll drink the tea. Oh, heavens to Bevan, I'm dying and all that sort of rot. By tomorrow, my tea bag will be hanging at half mast. I'm going, but I'm not afraid.
That's right, Sir Cedric. Keep a stiff upper lip.
Have to. Dead, you know. Cheer up.
Now we're back to where I started. I killed my wife. I knew I couldn't get away with it. Already I could hear the police siren wailing down the street. The door opened downstairs. Then I could hear the heavy footsteps of the police pounding up the stairs. Secret police. There was no hope. I was trapped 8 floors above the ground. Will it never take me alive? I opened the window, and I jumped. My body went hurtling down through space. Past the 7th floor, 6th floor, 5th floor, 4th floor, 3rd floor, 2nd, 1st.
Cheerio.
Goodbye, Alan Young and things.
Great, Alan Young.
Yep, good old Wilbur and Scrooge McDuck on DuckTales.
Dave, was there an accompanying...
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Was there an accompanying stage show production, because there's like a live audience responding to...
No, this was a Dorothy Moore show, the Seal Test Variety Theater. And so she would sing songs. She would have guests. Some of them were singers. So as here, you know, Alan Young was a comedian. She had on the Jerry Gildersleeve from McGee and Molly, so many of those, so many of the great radio people of the day as well. And but then when they weren't singers, they would put on these little bits here.
Oh, okay. Because as I hear these, they definitely sound like there would be some type of a visual to this that the audience is responding to.
No. Well, you know, they are at times, now you're holding the script, but there are times they're playing to the audience, sure. Uh-huh. You know, Bob Hope certainly did. Groucho Marx certainly did whenever he was on the radio. He played to the audience.
You bet your life.
Hey, with
a little bit of time left here, I want to remind you we're not going to be on tomorrow. That's the bad news. The good news, we'll be on Sunday night at 6:30 Eastern with CBS Radio Mystery Theater, Blizzard of Terror.
But what time? What's the time for that?
6:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yep.
Okay, 6:30 p.m.
6:30 p.m. Eastern. And then that way you're completely unfettered. You don't have to jump and channel jump. Because at 8 o'clock Eastern, what happens?
Oh, right. Tomorrow, CW. Tomorrow, Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul. It's our last broadcast of the year due to Christmas is happening on a Saturday and New Year's is happening on a Saturday. I won't be showing up again until like the 7th or 8th of January. So I'm gone.
He's drunk, so, yeah.
Well, I don't drink.
See you in about
a
year,
alcohol,
brother.
Yeah. So tomorrow is the last hoorah for my Santa Claus fun holiday stuff. And then I won't see anybody until the 7th of January. So I hope to see some folks there if you'd like.
Absolutely.
And with that being said, we'll catch Gar with the Twitches tomorrow. And then Sunday join us as we wrap up our snowy weekend with CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Bye-bye.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
Him too?
When next we meet in Frankenstone. Don't come alone.
Trick candle.
I have a trick candle here. It goes out, but the only way to get it to reignite, you have to blow on it, and it pops back to life. It's weird.
Yep. They're cool.
Oh.
When people aren't expecting them, they're fun.
Candles?
Yeah, the trick kind.
The ones that don't go out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're fun.
I like candles. I have a bunch of tapers here. And there's a really cool feel to candlelight, a room lit up with only candles, going preceding electricity. You know, Victorian times, that was all you had.
Yeah.
Daylight or candlelight, you know, and that was it. Do you guys have any other festive snowball or snow-related memories?
A little bit of sledding was, you know, that was fun.
Sledding. Oh gosh.
We used to toboggan a lot in the New York because snowing was good, and you get like five people at a time who could break their, you know, you even break five legs at a time that way.
Yeah.
A toboggan is a sled that holds five, not one, right?
The sled is only designed for one, usually.
Uh-huh.
But a toboggan, you get a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah, the slide, yeah, toboggan, a bunch of them. And you can really get moving with that toboggan with all that weight on it, you know?
Yep.
Okay, so you're going to some hilly area. What's the steering mechanism on this toboggan thing?
Everybody lean left.
That's pretty much it. Now, on a sleigh, like a what are they called? I can't think of the name that's painted on the sleigh. Mine did. But at the front of the sleigh, there were two almost handles, and you could manipulate the direction of the sleigh rims by moving that. They didn't move much, but they moved enough.
Oh, do you guys remember that, the Disc-O-Def? That thing
Yes. It's like
you
a
know
big
what
frisbee.
I'm talking about. The round
thing?
It's
a frisbee with handles, maybe. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good, an apt explanation, sir.
Thank you. Yeah. Steering. You're just going in a, that's like one of those crazy, like the teacups at Disney. All the way down, you know. One of the popular runs that were in my childhood was you got your sleigh and you went to this place and everybody was there. Oh, so many people! It was amazing. It was fun. But the deal was, it was one heck of an incline, a decline, and you would get on it and go down. But when you got to the bottom, you had to hard turn right or left. Most of the time was right. Because if you didn't, you would go off into about an 8-foot drop ditch that was lined with rocks.
Tigers.
You know, it was actually a stream bed or something. And so every once in a while, you know, somebody would make the turn, like, uh-oh.
Sounds destructive. I like it.
Yeah, I thought you would. I mean, you know, talking about you driving in the snow and doing circles on purpose.
Well, actually, my father taught me to drive that way in the winter. We went out to Randall Park Mall at the time. Was a new mall. And there weren't any islands or anything. It was a sea of asphalt. I know I told this story once on this channel at least. But anyway, he said, all right, start doing donuts. And my dad, you know, like the most conservative guy on earth in terms of driving, I'm like, what? He says, I'm trying to teach you how to control a skid. And I did learn how to control a skid. What he didn't realize was he taught me to, like, want to do this. a lot.
And I like how Dale said that it was a new mall, the Randall Park Mall, which has now been demolished many years.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
It's so crazy
another
how many.
Another mall bites the dust.
Yep. Yeah. It's so crazy. All the malls that we can think of no longer exist, you know.
Yeah.
They've been torn down, you know, because and it's like, wait
we
a second.
We essentially have one left here in Summit County, and at one point we had three of them, Rolling Acres and Chapel Hill. And Chapel Hill is still there, but it's technically a dead mall. They're turning it into a multi-purpose facility, but it isn't a mall anymore. And the Summit Mall is still there.
I forget. What's the difference in our ages? 5 years? About?
I think it's only about three or 4 years at the most.
Yeah, let's not get crazy here.
Yeah. Because <that's right. laughs> you know what I was doing that month, Gar? Sorry.
So, I wasn't born yet. Anyway, in the
that is the line of the week.
I know, that's it. That's the testimonial.
That's
going
to be hard to top. That one's going to be hard to top.
I wasn't born yet. In the 1960s, it was a mall that was built and that was kind of prominent in my life. And the funny thing was, it's kind of like my high school. I went to high school 10 years later. I worked at my high school, and that's kind of a fun thing to do, okay? I had 798,000 jobs. That was one of them, was going back to that job. Another thing was I went to this mall in its inception, I was 64. So I was dragged out there, and it was only like 5 years old at that time. And now at some point, 22 years later, I went back and I gained employment there. That another of my 9,628,000 jobs. Anyway, so I went back there and I worked and I was like, oh my God, this is so crazy. Because I was working in the original building. They hadn't changed it. It was still the same structure. And I was sitting there working in the same place where I was a little kid. And you know, you got school clothes or whatever. And that was kind of neat, kind of a surreal thing.
Yeah.
And I recall working a Christmas rush, and it snowed that year, and that was like 1912. Could have been 1912. Yeah. My watch was broken, so I'm not sure, but 1986, 1987, worked a Christmas rush in retail, and we had this big, huge window, and you could see the snow, and it was snowing, and you saw the snow, and I get really excited because I love snow, but that's me.
Until you shovel it.
I did shovel it.
Yeah.
I have shoveled.
Yeah.
I have been to the Arctic Circle. I know snow. I know I'm down here, you know, being a beach bum down in Florida, but
You shoveled the Arctic Circle?
I did, the whole thing. Took 2 days. It was crazy. It was before you were born.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
I've been.
Yes, it was all a bad dream.
It was all a bad dream. There you go. That was perfect. And then it was before you were born, and it was a bad dream. So it was both.
It's got a lot of things working. Yeah.
Got a lot of things. You know, there was one time I was in the Navy. We were at sea in the North Atlantic, and it was snowing, and you couldn't see land anywhere. All you saw was snow. You walked all around the ship. You went 360 degrees and nothing but snow and sea. And it's like, I have arrived. You know, that's crazy stuff. Surreal, if you will. Yeah.
Certainly it's real.
Yep.
When you were a kid, I don't know, because you guys have always been up north, right? Dale, have you ever lived anywhere other than Ohio?
No, I'm a combination of both proud and ashamed to say that I'm a lifetime Clevelander.
But you have been to Hawaii, right?
Yeah, that's where we went on our honeymoon. Actually, that's where we went to get married and honeymoon. And
So you've seen the other side. But
I've seen some of the world, a little bit of it.
Okay. And Dave, you lived in Buffalo. You were in New York.
Yes.
You've been in Ohio. Anywhere south of any of that? Anywhere?
To live, no. To have I been there? Yeah, sure.
Well, no, you were in Florida. Oh, that's right. I forgot. You were in Florida that one time. We met.
I forgot. I've been in Florida several times. My honeymoon was in Florida. And, of course, that would have been 25 years ago on December 7th. Augustine. We honeymooned in St. Augustine.
No, wait. Did you decide December? Did you decide December 7th so you would remember the date?
You bet your sweet butt I did.
I'll never forget that one. Everybody.
That's right. It's like forgetting your wife's birthday. You do it only once.
No, you could say that. You know that.
Date that will live.
Yes.
In infamy.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Churchill says, you know. In fact, you should get your wife a card that's got him on it. You open it. Oh, that will him tomorrow. And
except,
happy
except
anniversary.
That, was FDR.
That would be hilarious.
Except that was FDR, you know. Other than that, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, that wasn't Churchill? Oh, it was FDR.
No.
Never mind. Okay, yeah.
He was masquerading
as FDR.
As
he
Churchill.
Was. That's
my
where
my mistake.
Yeah.
He was on his way
yeah.
back
error.
To J. Edgar Hoover's little costume party and decided.
Oh, you remember Art Carney, and he said, yeah, or something. I don't know. Stalin once said, you know, get out of my cherry tree or whatever. I don't know. okay. I don't know.
That's
crazy.
I thought he said more vodka. I thought he said more vodka.
More vodka.
More vodka. Less Bolshevik.
More vodka.
That was his ad.
Yeah.
More vodka, less Bolshevik. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that was good times. Oh, boy. No, snow is just, wow. And I got to tell you, it is, I've been here a long time, 30 plus years, maybe longer than maybe 40, I don't know, down in Florida. And I got to tell you, even now, when I walk outside and it's like, you know, 60, 70 degrees, I'm like, the heck? And people are, you know, shorts and tank tops and flip-flops. And they go, Merry Christmas. I'm like, get away from me. Because to me.
You're not doing it right.
Yeah, Christmas is synonymous with cold. And, you know, I don't know. Some people have a problem getting into the spirit. If it was cold, I would be even more so. But I'm pretty into the spirit. I'm pretty happy this year.
I haven't been drinking lately. I haven't been into the spirits.
Do you normally drink? I don't know.
No, you really shouldn't drink when you got the sugar.
Type two.
It's not good.
That's one
but
of the first thing
I
they ask.
I rediscover there's a my son goes to Costco. Okay,
mm-hmm.
He's in the cult, and they have a knockoff of Bailey's Irish Cream or the
mm-hmm.
thing, and it's
I'm familiar.
It's rather good. The knockoff
mm-hmm.
is rather good. I must
Wait.
Say.
If you're gonna go ahead and bend the rules a little bit, why not just get the original price? You're saving 25 cents. What's going on there?
No, significantly more. It's like half the cost of Bailey's.
Half the cost.
Yeah.
Half the
they
cost.
Have their own.
And
they have their own brand name, but since they ain't paying us, I'm not telling you what it is.
I got you.
No free rides.
Yeah.
Free rides, Costco.
I was pushing, and I'm not.
Sorry.
I'm not selling, but in a way I'm advertising, but I'm not selling. the Victorian Christmas ghost stories that were collected by the Valancourt folks, and they've got four different volumes of these Victorian ghost stories for Christmas, or Christmas ghost stories. And they're really, you know, so Dickens wasn't the only one kicking this stuff out.
No.
And there's
that's
a boatload.
That's because books were a big gift back then for
yes.
Christmas. They were a big gift for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
especially if you can read.
If you go to the old-time radio researchers, they have a Christmas thing, and they're mostly British stuff, and there's a lot of Christmas horror stories there. That's probably the ones you're talking about, but the BBC acted them out for you.
Oh, that's even sweeter. Yeah, that's cool.
Yes.
Yeah, I was showing those off last week because I've got all four versions.
You were.
And I just think they're really cool. And if folks really want to, I don't know if moving back in time to the Victorian era, you have to go back that far. But, you know, it's fun to delve into the past a little bit before Dave was born.
That's right.
Yes.
You know. I really love some of the older decor, or some of the decor that's newer, but it looks like the older decor. The old books, like the Frank L. Baum thing I was talking about. The same guy that wrote The Wizard of Oz has this one story where he said, I'm going to stop this for a while, and he came up with at least two different books of fantasy. One was The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus, and it follows a completely different route than any of the other told tales. And it's a fun read. And it's also an audiobook by LibriVox or something like that.
Right. Those are volunteer. LibriVox is a volunteer readers that record public domain things.
Mm-hmm.
And put them up
on archive.org.
.org
yeah.
to share with everyone. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Archive.org.
I think
they do have the.
I even think I've seen some of their stuff on the YouTube, I believe. So.
Mm-hmm. Even on the what are they called? The news groups, which is a very archaic form of getting material or media
or information these days.
Or information.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh no! News groups are a server based. Thing for downloading content. It's not a group of people collecting news.
It's not actually news. Yeah.
No, it's more.
I've
like
been
media.
Saying that for years. What? Oh no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Depends on your sources. I don't watch TV, so I'm kind of out on the loop. You know, I get information here and there, but
you ain't missing much.
That's what I understand. That I'm not missing much.
I don't really indulge in regular television anymore. I'll take my Roku any day.
Yeah.
Well, I watch current programs. It just doesn't have commercials in it. Doesn't have news and that stuff. It's similar to Roku, but it doesn't have commercials in it, and it's divorced from. Commercial aspect of it, but I have nothing but fond memories of times of snow. I don't have any like, you know, I was in a wreck because I was in a wreck because of snow. I forgot about that, but it doesn't, you know, stick with me that much. I was in a fender bender once due to snow. But for the most part, I would say most of my stories in my life concerning snow are positive and happy and kind of festive.
Good, as it should be.
I think the one thing that snow avails and can is a slight bit of magical thing, because snow is a really bizarre weather effect. It really is. It's kind of crazy. You know? We get rain, we get snow, or we get rain... and we get sunshine, and, you know, that's going on. And then It has to be really the weather has to be really specific to get that snow.
Yeah, it's got to be the right conditions.
Yeah, and it's just so weird that even happens. It's like, wow. Do you guys read a lot of science fiction, or have you?
I have in the past. I haven't had much time to read of late, and
yeah,
my eyes are going. But
that too. Yeah, I'm having that. In some of the older science fiction, they would try to describe an alien scape, a landscape, a world other than the Earth, and they would describe the weather, you know, and some of the weather would be, you know, it was raining methane, or it was doing, you know,
oh, God,
different things.
Rain. Well, wow. There had to be methane.
I don't know. It just,
oof. A lot of
it
cows
just came out. Oh, there's
planet.
Another pun. Yeah. Oh, no, we've landed on the fart planet. Get your gas mask. I don't know.
My eyes are burning.
Yes, my eyes, my ears. Oh, yeah. And it smells so bad. Ah, yeah. So, yeah.
So wrong.
The silent but deadly planet. Yeah, that would be. So.
Oh, that's too funny.
No, they would have to describe weather on these unusual planets, and they would have to come up with unusual things. You know, maybe it rains lead ingots or something. I don't know, but you know, it's just something weird. And snow is definitely something that we get here that is a little bit doesn't happen every day. You know, and kind of magical.
But
and
no lead ingots.
No lead ingots, yeah.
Okay.
And I just think it's tied to Santa Claus really big time, for me anyway.
Wait a minute. You're tying lead ingots to Santa Claus? You're not going to get any presents.
No, I'm tying snow.
Naughty list for you.
Yeah.
You're on that.
No, I'm tying snow to. And another thing is like the notion of Santa Claus very loosely is set in a place on our planet where December would be part of the end of fall, beginning of winter time in that part of the world would have snow more so than we over here in the U.S. because it was kind of created over in Europe, old Europe. Just cool.
Robot.
I don't know how they came up with such a cool thing, and then you got to figure that Santa Claus is being kept alive today, and I don't think it's being kept alive just because of retail. I think everybody gets the opportunity to keep Santa alive.
It's a wonderful tradition. Anywho, I'm running out of gas, gentlemen.
Yep.
Okay, well,
I am as well. So that means the one, the only, live from Club Durant.
Yes.
Mr. Jimmy Durante.
Dave, call me after the show finishes.
Good night. Good night.
Okay.
Wibble
it.
It's time to say good night.
Wibble
it.
Good
night.
Wibble it.
What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Horrible up we the day, and in cut-tick-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Do you mind turning off the radio?